100 Word Stories.
Good morning. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily crap from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. I also make excuses for the poor audio quality, but really, it's kind of a given around here. The topic this week was in honor of Whitney Houston. Crack. We've got a lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to it. First up, someone new. It's Jesse Firethorn. Yeah, this is going to be cool. Well, welcome, Jesse, and I know you weren't able to record it, so that's why we have the midget. Here we go, Jesse.
The storm sirens have been going off all night. The wind had been gusting up to 50 miles an hour for a couple of hours. Drenched and shivering, I was throwing newspapers, envying these who had jobs that allowed them to sleep until daylight. Crack! The sound above me was not loud, but it was distinct and ominous. One of those 1942 shelter belt tree branches was about to come crashing down. But which one? Which way should I run? I froze. Whack! As the lights blurred and the pain came, I wondered if they would tip for the paper on the porch.
Thank you, Jesse. I hope the midget did justice to your story. But if not justice, revenge.
Revenge!
Oh, and remember to come back next week, because there's like, these keep going on and on and on and on and on. They're like the wave, or the dash, or a word that you say in a strange voice. Okay, that was a silly. Speaking of silly, how about a story from Tom? I think he's got updates, too. Oh, boy. Let me get out my pen and paper. How many new monkeys are there?
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got updates. Batgirl is one story shy of joining the monkeys, the top 50 writers. Speaking of monkeys, Tura moves into the 42nd position, Chris the nuclear kid passes Rael and the cats into the 34th place, two behind my friend Carrie. Pris, happy birthday Mr. President Moreau, leaps ahead of Lisa from Lemons and Lollipops. Boy, isn't that a shot from the past. He moves into slot 27. You may find this hard to believe, but Thomas and young Danny Dwyer are tied at 49 stories each, sharing the 14th place. Seven of the top 10 are active, with the triumphant return of Guy David, who is a mere 5 stories shy of 150 stories. Phil has 175 stories, Tom has 225, and hold on to your hats, the planet we know as Z has 300 stories, 120 in a row, passing TJ. He is 6 shy of passing Guy David, which leaves himself a collision course with the number 2 all-time Iron Monkey, Tom. Can he do 140 stories in a row and rip out Tom's beating heart? Don't even think of catching Phil. Can't be done. No way. We passed the 3,400th story mark. Our average is 12.25. One-timers, 149. We have double digits for 5 weeks in a row, and 31 weeks in double digits. On a personal note, I really, really miss Guy. I'm glad he's back. And tonight's story is called A Code of Honor. Crack! It sounded like a cow's rib getting hit with a baseball bat. She dropped to the floor of the kitchen. I always thought Timmy was a dick, but stepping purposely on the tiny crack in the driveway was just plain cold. Mrs. Franks wasn't the nicest mom on the block, but you just don't break your mother's back. Thus the sing-songy rhyme. There was only one thing the kids could do to set things right. We buried him in the ground up to his head, poured honey over it, and let the fire ants go to town.
You know, this is what I missed out on growing up in Ohio. and not in Texas, because we didn't have fire ants up there. But if we did, that would have been... Man, there would have been so many more options. Thank you, Tom, and thank you for the updates. And just to let you all know, this podcast passed its 3,000th episode 2 weeks ago. Okay, yeah, there's no party, no celebration. Man, I posted up on a tweet, and, you know, do you see any of the big-time podcasters, Lincoln? No, they're too busy counting the money, man. It's not about the podcasting, it's not about the achievement, it's about the money with them. No. Sure, I'm going to be doing some collections, maybe posting them up on Amazon, few as a test. We'll see, man. What am I going to do with it? What am I going to do? Get Nardo a new butt? No, not going to happen. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Just go to another baseball game? Whatever. Oh, thank you, Tom. And speaking of Tom, we have Thomas. See, the two Toms. Tom-Tom. The Tom-Tom Club. Okay, shut up. You're being a jackass. Here's Thomas and his stories. Let's play. Yeah. That's what the play button is. It's a little green triangle. Kind of a cool triangle. Oh no, the green triangle. Did they have green triangles in the camps? I don't know. Maybe I have to look that up.
There was a crack in the fabric of time. Johnny had been putzing around the equipment in his dad's workshop, and he cobbled together a device made up of three usually independent devices. After he put the power to the main unit, he heard an enormous roar. And when he looked out the window, he saw a jagged tear in the horizon, and each half of the panorama fell away to reveal a deep black rift, seemingly empty and going on to infinity. He examined it more closely with his telescope and noticed some licorice jelly beans. Pouring the glass of vodka, she popped Zoloft and morphine and stirred in an ounce of elixir of terpenhydrate. Neat. A couple of lines of Bolivian marching powder off the tub shelf, then a large rock of crack in her pipe, taking off the edge. She ran scales, warming her voice for the concert, and started to feel better. She spun around a few times to the left, to the right, then sank beneath the bathwater. The last thing she saw before she drew her last breath was the bottom of the rubber duck floating above her head.
Thank you, Thomas. And you know, Bolivian marching powder, when I was growing up, I thought, you know, the Bolivians actually had marching powder. You know, they'd spread it around and maybe, you know, wave it over the soldiers and they'd start marching. And that's how, you know, you got stuck in the army. They'd, you know, oh, we're going into the school and waving the marching powder around, breathing in deep, kids. Ha ha, now here's a gun. That would actually be kind of cool. It's sort of like voodoo, I guess. Kind of cool. Next up, we have Lizzie Goodkoff. Now, not only did she do a story for this week, but she also did one for, well, maybe you missed it. It was the Valentine's thing that I had been mentioning, and only Lizzie heard it. So, I kind of didn't do a Valentine's special. I was having a bad day that day, but then I have a bad day most days because I'm grumpy and grouchy and a negative Nelly. Negative Nelly. Ooh, what's the opposite of negative Nelly? Positive Paul? What do you think? I'm not going to say put it in the comments and all that because no one ever puts stuff in the comments. Instead, tell it to your priest this morning. Oh, I was listening to the Weekly Challenge and someone said, what's the opposite of negative Nelly? And I have to confess the sin of trying to think of something or the horrible venal sin of actually posting in the comments. I'll shut up now.
Hello, this is Lizzie Goodkoff from lizziegoodkoff.blogspot.com. Yep. Shameless plug, I know. And here is the text I've written for this week's challenge, which was crack. There it goes. And I have to say that this has nothing to do with Whitney Houston. At least not directly. No, it doesn't have to do with Whitney Houston. Now, seriously, here it goes. Hit hard. Admit the truth. Reality usually sounds like something. This is how it happened. She fell down the stairs and hit her head on the corner of the bookshelf. All the books fell onto the floor, creating a mess of crumbling pages, crumbled and torn. Her head went crack. Time and time again, she had been told not to do it. She wouldn't. Couldn't. Listen. She continued to crack up. Voices haunted her. At the bottom of the stairs, a book landed on her face. It was called Cracked Up, and it was a book of comedic short stories. Talk to you next week.
Shameless plugs are good. That's what we're all about. Revel in it. Enjoy it. It's okay. Everyone likes saying URLs. See? I just said it. Okay, now, let's turn back the clock, and let's imagine that it's Valentine's Day, all right? So you have your loved one close? Real close? Your hands are on their throat? Okay, maybe too close. Here we go.
Hello, Wheezy Goodcough here. And this is a special Valentine's special. Here it goes. Valentine's Day is such a chocolatey day. It starts with kisses and chocolates, obviously. There are I love yous forever and ever and never. Candlelight romantic dinners and kisses and chocolates, of course. A nice piece of jewelry in a velvety box magically opens way for more kisses and more I love yous. While the romantic candle burns lethargically, I have nothing against Valentine's Day, mind you. Cuddly arms waiting, drab kisses, and velvety forevers are just so special. Never. We'll come back tomorrow in harsh tones of reality. But, yes, Valentine was great. Thank you for asking.
Okay, it was a special Valentine's special, but I know it wasn't special enough for me to actually, you know, make it own separate episode. I mean, years ago, we had one where there were like 5 billion stories in it, and I'd mentioned it, but then I also promoted it and kind of posted about it, and I got lazy. You think this podcast is ever going to reach like 4,000 episodes at this rate? I don't know. Actually, it will, because if I'm going to keep producing stories and putting them in the queue, I'm already recorded through June 21st of next year, man. I don't know why I'm doing it. I don't know why I'm going nuts on the story. I'm doing 2 or 3 a day now, and it's just building up, and some of them actually don't suck. So, we'll see where they go. So, Lizzie, thank you, and happy Valentine's Day to you. And sorry I was too lazy. I could put that in a Valentine, like, sorry I was too lazy to post this, man. It could be a whole line of podcaster cards, because we all know everybody's a podcaster now. Thank you, Adam Curry. Next up, it's Tura Bergianu. And, oh, this is going to be fun. Also, a heads up on this. Tura's story, the original, was 113 words. So if you go to Tura's site, you'll see the full text. Isn't that cool? You know, people can post on their sites the stuff, and then they come up here, and then there's linking, and then the whole web builds up, and so when there's a nuclear war, this stuff will last. Like Twinkies. So, here we go with Tura.
The crack of doom shall swallow up this world, and all that is upon it be destroyed, resolved into... Yes? What? Uncle... If this is a sonnet, you'll never fit it into 100 words at that rate. Tish, attention span of young people these days. Okay, The first quatrain says the world will end. The second lists some ways it could happen. The third says we'd better get to the stars before it does. And the couplet ties a Shakespearean ribbon on it. How's that? But now it isn't a poem. This conversation is just 100 words, though. I'll send it instead. And if you can stretch to reading 113 words, the whole sonnet is at turabrez.blogspot.com.
You know, I think it's very important that people stretch before reading. It's just like exercise, but you're exercising your mind. So stick your hands in your ears and stretch your brain. And be sure to go over to Tura's site, which is listed in the show notes. And by the story. And, ooh, that QR code. Flash your phone at it. You know what I like to do with QR codes? I like to print out Rickrolls and then paste them over the QR codes you see in the store. It's kind of fun. Thank you, Tura. Tura. See, I got it right for once. Speaking of getting it right for once, this man gets it right every time. It's Muncy, and you can hear his stuff not only here, but every now and then his little twabble, the little tweet thing, gets picked by that Norm Sherman of Drabblecast. Sometimes the Drabbles at Drabblecast. I think there's one up for, he's doing like the Reader's Award stuff, so vote for all of Muncy's stuff. And then Muncy can be like, yay, and then wave the trophy around, and then won't, you know, do an in-your-face Norm Sherman, because that's the kind of thing I do. Oh, right, I should play Muncy's story and quit bitching and stuff. What am I bitching for? It's not even 6 yet. Bruin, you know, kicked me in the face when he was on the pillow, so it's like, you know, he was coughing something up, and he was like, you know, because he's a cat. Right. Great. Now Mist needs to start throwing up too, right?
Greetings from the Munns Cave, gentle listeners. Get ready for a story about crack. Or don't get ready and let the story catch you off guard. Either way, you've been warned. Crack. By Chris Monroe. If I understand correctly, people with cancer cook meth. Right? I mean, that dude from that show that one time had cancer, and he cooked meth like crazy. By the end of the second season, the cancer was in full remission. I don't completely understand what the connection between the two is. I'm not a doctor. But it was pretty clear. Cooking and selling meth cures cancer. I think that's how it works anyway. There could be something I'm missing. It's all very abstract. I don't have cancer. I just have a lingering cold. So, wanna buy some crack? Flash fictions at munzystories.blogspot.com. Videos on YouTube at Munzy Sells Out. Tweets for my tweeps on Twitter at Munzy Munzy. Podio book being edited as we speak.
Podio book being edited as we speak? Cool! Thank you, Munzy. It's great. Everyone's starting to put out books now. That's great. I'm thinking about it. What I'm probably going to do, All right, so I'm cleaning up all the archives, all over 3,000 episodes. And I'm tagging them, and I'm cleaning up the word counts. There are a few that were a little off. And what I'm going to do is put them into collections, and we'll see if I put them on, like, Amazon or Google Books. And that means, yeah, some of them are going to vanish from the site. So if you're cheap or poor, or cheap and poor, you may want to go and start, you know, gobbling up the archives or whacking them. And then you can publish a book of, well, here's all of them, and I think I should make money from these. And then I'll hunt you down, and then we'll fight, and you'll probably win because I'm not very good at fighting. But, what was I saying? Oh, we have more stories here, if I could just stop rambling. And, Zach Claxton from Second Life, the famous musician. I love saying famous musician and celebrity and all that because people say that to me, and I'm like, no, I'm not. Stop. You know, I'm not like Whitney Houston. Whitney was like, you know, how many Grammy Awards for never picking up a musical instrument unless she was going to beat Bobby Brown with it? And Bobby, he doesn't know how to play anything. You know, it says, oh, I'm just going to, you know, auto-tune everything. So, Zach, I'm just, you know, inflicting my neuroses on you, man. We got a story from you, but, you know, the man's a recording genius, and yet he doesn't record the story. I just, maybe he needed to book studio time or something. Just, all right, I'll shut up now.
1 year, our company rented a white van to get around Vegas during the trade show, figuring it would be cheaper than taking cabs everywhere. Arriving in the morning, we parked in the convention center lot and went in to do our business-like schmoozing and bullshitting that one does at a show. That evening, we walked out to find that 50 identical white vans were parked in a row, and none of us could recall exactly where we'd parked, nor identify any distinguishing features in our particular van. We all took cabs back to Caesar's Palace.
Dude, now that is funny. Hey, you in Vegas, you're doing something, right, man? I'm not going to be able to go. I picked up a ticket to William Shatner, man. Shatner! Oh, that's going to be sad. Although Shatner got food poisoning at his debut in New York, which should warn everybody, don't go to New York. If you're in New York, you're going to get food poisoning. If you're 80 years old and you're in New York, get out of New York. Don't eat anything. Have all your food imported. Bring it up from here in Houston. It's all good food. All our commercials now for travel are all about the food. So really, it's, you know, blow your fucking diet. Pig out, man. That's our city. Next up, we have another new person here, Jeff Hema. I'm going to wind up getting this guy pissed off like I did with Thomas. Jeff, I'm going to say Hema. I'm probably wrong. He's got a story here, and it's called Scolding. And it was written on the challenge for Tunnel. And I managed to include A to the topic from last week. Okay, so this one was, they caught the Facebook thread, and it was out of date. Okay, well, I'm going to have the midget do this one anyway. It's okay, a little blast from the pastor. We're flexible, except for the fact that if it's not 100 words, because that's the title of the podcast. I mean, you don't go on to Pseudopod and then read a little unicorn fantasy story, right? I don't know what the hell Alistair does over there. Oh, well, at least he picked Steven the Nuclear Man, right? Oh, I'll get into that later. Here's Dex. Midget, read this one.
We are not just hanging out here. We have aims to teach, buddy. Last time you had an A was at the first semester. I'm a tough cookie, but I can't help it. The exam was tougher than me. I will catch up, teacher. That's because you have tunnel vision toward my explanations. We can tell since that day he saw the light. He was convinced that only hard work and discipline are keys to success. The whole incident happened when he got the worst grade in class, so a wake-up call was necessary.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. I like that one. It was like, you know, a lesson in education. And, folks, I'm going to tell you, if you're not making the cut here, is there a cut? Do I actually cut stories? I can't even remember the last one. When was I pissed off the last time? Oh, wait, that was yesterday morning. I'm an angry person, aren't I? Wee-hee! Hurling at a pig. Woo! Oh, wait, we got more stories here. Stop. Quit flipping out, man. Buttermilk. Ooh, Buttermilk! Ooh, he's got a story this week. Oh, we got a lot of new people, man. We're just getting new to make up for all the lazy old people. Guy David isn't lazy because he came back. He went gangbusters. He went back over all the topics he missed, and he covered them. It was cool. So, yeah, if you go to the Tom category, you can see just a whole slew of stories. And Seattle slew. No, wait. Gosh, how do you remember the names of horses? It shows how much those stupid races get marketed. Right. I should stop rambling and actually hand the story over. So, Midget, here, come here. Come here. All right. Yeah, this one. No, you're holding it upside down. Now you're holding it sideways. Okay, well, if you lay on your side, it'll be fine. Okay, here's buttermilk.
Alone, wandering in a wasteland, dragging my heavy, frozen heart through the dry sand. A thick layer of ice around it, a necessary precaution against the brutal mutilation it had endured. I thought I would never be so vulnerable again. I was a strong stoic, heaving my burden across the desolate landscape. I went to see the sacrifice everyone was so enthralled with. There, in a gorgeous beacon of light, stood by the entrance, offering guidance and direction. You spoke truth to me, and I heard the groaning of the ice around my heart just before it shattered with a loud crack.
Thank you, Buttermilk. And, yeah, this is the third one you've written, but the first one you've remembered to send in, so what you need to do is write on the wall, in spray paint, "Send 100-word stories in." And then you'll never forget. Unless you don't ever look at that wall. Or if you spray paint a wall in somebody else's house, then they're going to be like, "Why are you spray painting in my house? Well, that's kind of a nice cerulean color. Can you do the carpets?" Okay. Well, if you have weird friends like that. Unless you like breaking and entering, that's kind of fun. Sometimes. Unless you don't, hopefully you don't get caught. Oh, speaking of people who don't get caught, Steven the Nuclear Man. Ooh, he's got one in its pseudopod, right? Like I mentioned before? See? I don't just spout these things off. I have sort of a madness to them. By the way, I forgot to make coffee this morning. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make coffee, and while you listen to this, maybe I'll just get some iced tea.
Steven the Nuclear Man here. I have two things to announce for you. First, I have a story in the anthology Westward Weird. There's 13 great stories in there with all sorts of weird Western stuff. Steampunky, Neil Gaiman-y, science fiction-y weirdness. Great stuff. Check it out. Secondly, I was on Pseudopod this week to sort of... Well, no, that's really it. I was on Pseudopod this week. My story, The Burning Servant, was there. And the narration is absolutely fantabulous. Go give it a listen. And compliment the reader for everything that she's done. Because, really, she did so much more for that story than I could have. But enough of that. Now on to this story. That woman was very nice. You were very polite to that woman. I am talking to myself, just to keep my social skills in practice. There are few visitors, since the highway moved. I glance out the window to the motel, to her room. You shared supper with her. Maybe you really were sexually interested. No, I yell as I hear the woman scream down below. Oh, God, Mother, I yell, running for the motel. Oh, God, Mother, what have you done? I step on every crevice in the sidewalk, but I know Mother will never, never leave me alone.
Thank you, Stephen, and congratulations on getting the story in the anthology and the pseudopod thing. And it's okay, folks, if you don't want to comment over here, but comment over at pseudo first. Well, first listen to the story just to make sure that he isn't blowing smoke up your butt. Like maybe if you,
there was the horror of the West Coast.
A monotone, like someone's talking through one of those vibrating boxes. And no, if she's really, leave a comment over there too. In fact, if it takes all of your time to comment on here, no, go over there and comment. How do you find it? Google pseudopod. Pseudopod. Do it just like that. That's actually their theme music. Sung by a barbershop quartet. What the hell am I doing? There's more stories, right? Zachman. Oh, good. Zachman's got two this week. All right. Let's hit play.
Oh, my, Nikki. You look like you got the stuffing beat out of you. Oh, Rod, I couldn't tell who it was. It was so dark, but when he demanded my wallet, he sounded so much like Ernie. Let me stitch you up before you make a mess. Rod, it must have gotten really bad for a street puppet to come all the way to Avenue Q. Nikki, that is what happens to a neighborhood after cookie dough addictions. I don't know how we can ever feel safe in the city again. I hate street puppets. See that news article that Paul Cooley guy posted about the underbelly of the street? Apparently, cookie dough is to puppets what crack is to humans. Like many of our favorite shows of childhood, there was an unknown drug problem behind the scenes. Cookie Monster often came on the set so toasted on cookie dough that he couldn't complete a sentence in proper English. Do you think they started letting Cookie only eat fresh produce on screen because the network cared about children's health? So what do you know? It wasn't George Lucas who ruined your childhood.
Thank you, Zachman. Now you can tell when I start to get exhausted and tired and annoyed by having to put these all together every Sunday morning when I start rambling a lot less in between stories and introduce the next one and get right to it. Just, yeah. Right. Thank you, Zachman. And just, starting to get a little tired here. I woke up way too early, man. I keep doing that. I should go back to bed and just do these at a leisurely pace. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to bed, and I wake up in a few hours and continue working on this. Yeah, you believe that, right? No. Here comes Bonchance Longfall. That's right. Bonchance, who will be reading... Well, Cersei's already closed Laurel Arts Isle, so now it's going to be moving over to Stosh Quartz's place at some, you know, nearby her pad, so it's going to be cool, man. You know, the beat lives on. So here we go with Bonchance.
Crap Mariners 100 Word Challenge. This week's challenge word is crack. That's right, boys and girls. Crack. The U.S. economy was finally starting to rebound thanks to the influx of the yuan. The year was 2046. The United States was no longer involved in any wars of any kind. They forfeited their role as the world police. George was going over the current events. He needed to determine the signature color of the day, in support of the new government initiative that started this month. George half heard the restaurant clown on the television commercial say, "And remember, boys and girls, about our limited time deal. You get a free side of McCrack with every meal."
Thank you, Bonchance. And remember, now is the time to get your Shamrock Shakes. Dude, I had a small one the other day. Oh, and they put stuff on it. It was like, oh yeah, this is Ireland. Or maybe not. I should have had a Guinness instead. They don't sell those at McDonald's, though. If they sold those at McDonald's, okay, yeah, forget the Coke. I want Guinness. I also want Guy David to tell a story, which, oddly enough, he's going to do right now. Take it away, Guy.
Thank you.
The Keymaster, a 100-word story by Guy David. A crack opened at the edge of the universe. I took out the key and closed it, since that's what I do. I track the cracks and close them with a matching key. I have a key for every crack. Once I close the crack, I sniff the vacuum of space for another one. There is always another one. My job is never done. The universe is not merely curved, it's cracked. Here, I can smell another one. Guess I have my work cracked out for me. Someone managed to hinder another part of this universe. Won't they ever learn?
No, they'll never learn. Maybe we should make a public service announcement about that. Kids, don't do crack, and don't crack the universe, or you may wind up like Bobby Brown. Okay, that's twice I've mentioned him. I should stop now. Thank you, Guy David. And next up, we have Bot Girl. Ooh, this is going to be scary. Also, I think Bot Girl did a video of this on the blog, so check out the links in the show notes to see the whole full effect. We're just listening. We've got a glass to the wall and our ear to the glass and Guinness in the glass, and I don't understand. Oh, here comes a cat. Okay, so I'm going to move the pillows around so this cat can get up here. All right. So you may hear a cat in between the next few stories. Bot Girl, let's hear your story.
Ouch! I want you to stop, goddammit! How can I remember the safe word if you don't let... I'm warning you, I'm a fucking attorney. I will sue your... Sorry, I was joking. You know I could never let this go public. My wife, my constituents, my... Ow! Shit, is that blood running down my back? You could scar me permanently. What if some paparazzi shoots me on the beach? Oh my god, what was that fucking safe word? Jesus H. Christ!
Finally.
And you know, that... What? Well, first I gotta say thank you, Bot Girl, before, you know, I get too deep involved in conversation. You want... Yeah, you want to get up here, buddy? Come on, buddy. Come here. Well, come on. Get up here. Come on, nerd. Who's a good boy? Come on. Yeah? You sure? I need to get you another shrimp ring. Although we've got crawdad tails in the freezer. Yes, this is my guest host. A cat. Yeah? What? Want to say something? Oh, now you're mad. Okay, I'm going to pat you on the head. Get your nose. You love having your nose rubbed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What? What is it, old man? You want to finally get up here? Want to get up here? No? I know, you folks are just having a field day here listening to stories and some idiot talking to his cat at 6 in the morning. Oh. Well, I didn't call you an idiot. I called myself an idiot. Huh? Oh, there goes some sirens. Oh, you going to go get some water? Okay. Yeah, he's... He's my buddy. Alright. Speaking of my buddy, Danny and his buddy Freddy? Oh, those two. You're going to love this one, man. Take it away, Danny.
Hello, hello! Danny Dwyer here with Weekly Challenge 304, Crack. Special episode this week. We're bringing back, I'm bringing back one of my favorite characters, Bubbles, just for this specific episode, which is my tribute to Whitney Houston. So sit back and enjoy. Here is Weekly Challenge 304, Crack. Bubbles, the high-class prostitute, back from Holland in her insane search for the Hollish, is back in her Upper East Side condo in Manhattan. Relaxing in bed nude with her statuesque boyfriend John, she grinds up crack cocaine, then snorts it out of the crack of John's ass. Bubble states, "I can't believe there are no Hollish people in Holland. Just all of these Dutch." John responds, "I can't believe you keep snorting crack cocaine out of my ass after what happened to Whitney Houston." "You're right, John," states Bubbles, as she sprinkles the crack into a joint instead.
Thank you, Danny. And thank you, Bubbles. By the way, how much is she per hour? Oh, sorry. Next up, we have, let's see. Ooh, okay, so Clifford, but better known as Uncle Monster. Oh, man. I didn't know I had an Uncle Monster. I have an Uncle Vinny, and I have an Uncle Harold that I've never... Well, I met him once. But then again, my niece has only met me once. The other kids, though, you know, Beth's kids, did they meet, you know, when I was up there? I can't remember. I think they keep me away from them, too. I'm kind of a bad influence. Oh, right. Here's Uncle Monster. And he has a site, UncleMonster.com. So, hold on. I'm going to go there right now. Right. And there. And bring up Chrome. I use Google Chrome. Did you not see? Uncle Mon- and there's a book. And there's some glasses. And there's some links. And then there's, like, ninja wallpaper. Ooh, he swaps. Wait, mostly copyright 1999 to 2006. Ooh, so... Ooh, wait. Does that mean we can steal this? Okay, I'm stealing his site. Hey, Cliff, I'm stealing your site, man. I stole it! Alright, I'll give it back. Fine. Here's the story, by the way.
Taking Liberty by Clifford Lowe. I used to think that being obsessive-compulsive helped me be a better thief. After all, I never, ever left fingerprints. If I break in, I fix it on the way out. I leave no evidence. The last job I did was in Philadelphia. It went so smoothly that I had time to see the local sights. Betsy Ross's house, Independence Hall. Then I saw it. The crack. I knew I had to fix it. I had to. I really have no choice. Which is a problem. How am I going to get a one-ton bell back to my garage?
Thank you, Clifford, otherwise known as Uncle Monster. What, is there an ant monster? Ooh, Ant Monster! Great. I watched Robot Chicken Season 5. The first DVD yesterday. Man, that stuff is funny. Although the turkey pardoning, I think I did a story on that long before they did one. Wouldn't it be weird if they were... What? What? You feel like talking again? Yeah? What? Okay, Nardo wants to get involved again. Yeah, this could be the Nardo cast. This could be 2 hours long. You talking to the... Okay, what do you want to tell them? Yeah? Okay. Good. Yeah, you want some shrimpies? No? No? You want the sweet release of death from this horrible life? No, not yet. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'd love to pet your ears. Yeah. What? Okay, you gotta be careful about shaking your head, because you get off balance easily. Anything else? Anything else, Nardo? What? You just want to purr? That's all? You want to jump across me? Okay, jump. Good boy. Jump into the kitty circus. Okay. I'm going to stop talking to my cat. And instead, we're going to talk with Marie. Crack by Red Goddess, as read by the midget.
She's dubbed the golden voice of her generation. Her songs make you feel emotions you thought were buried deeper than your heart. This rags-to-riches diva found herself seduced by the traps of Hollywood fame. She had access to all chemicals with a price tag. She married and divorced a bad boy, the epitome of crackish. In spite of her demons, she remained beloved by fans pulling for her. Countless failed rehab attempts, she became disillusioned by sustained wealth to declare crack is whack to the media personalities, who judged yet admire her as another gone-too-soon celebrity.
Thank you, Red Goddess. Next up, we have Norval Joe. Yeah, I know, he's usually, he takes his time. I mean, some folks just rush it, but this dude, he takes his time. Naruto, what are you doing on the table? Okay. What? No, you can't have the iced tea. That's why you have water. No, this iced tea is mine. He's just... Usually he's asleep on the bed. But nope, he's having himself a good time wandering around. He's coming over back on the sofa. He's probably going to meow again. You going to meow again? No? Okay. Yeah, I know. You folks at home are just so excited about that, right? Okay, one of these days I'm just going to get professional about this cast and then everyone's going to leave. So here we go with Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of The Price of Friendship. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 303 with the prompt of crack. I want to apologize for the last couple weeks of poor audio quality. Lawrence says he always gets to apologize for that, and I'll take my turn. I don't like the sound of it going directly into the netbook, this new netbook at least, so I'm back in the recording room where I can get a decent sound. Thank you for those who have gone out and downloaded The Price of Friendship at podiobooks.com. And I even got someone who left some feedback that said they thought the story was good. Wow, imagine. So if you get a chance to download it and listen to it and you don't think it's stupid, please leave some feedback at podiobooks.com and wherever else you can. Well, here's my story. Owen peered through a crack in the door. His uncle spoke with Cindy's grandfather and a slender, dark-haired woman dressed entirely in black. "Owen," Uncle Fleck called, "get out here." "Yes, sir," Owen said, stepping through the doorway. "Not much time, boy," Fleck said. "Listen, we've been hiding you here from an evil wizard. You're a prince, heir to the throne." Owen said, unsure what to say. "Turns out your friend Cindy is a princess, an heir to a throne of her own," Fleck continued. "You two were betrothed as babies. Problem is, the evil wizard has her." Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
We like evil wizards around here. Isn't that right, Nardo? Yeah, especially if they have shrimp. Mm-hmm. Want some shrimp? No? Well, I'm all out of shrimp. I'm all out of shrimp. I'm so lost without you. Okay. Thank you, Norval Joe. Yeah, this one's turning into a Nardo cast. Yeah, getting you on the chin. Yeah, you love having your chin scratched. Yeah, he's a good boy. Okay, speaking of good boys, we've got TJ is back. Oh, wait, want to just... Oh, yeah, another little udge out of your fur. Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, you like that. Okay, well, I'm going to stop petting the stripies for a bit and instead tickle the ivories because here comes TJ.
Hi, this is TJ. I am from North Dakota, and in this week's The Museum of Family History, I give you Going Up. We picked our way through to what turned out to be a stairwell, although it resembled nothing so much as a tunnel defined by old dingy clothes and piles of garbage. If the second floor had a ceiling, it wasn't in evidence, although it certainly wasn't open to the sky. But as we left the main floor, I couldn't shake the impression that we weren't alone in Grandma's house, in what she referred to as Uncle Jake's collection of 83 jelly jar glasses. "Some with jelly still in them," she said, wasn't the only thing creeping me out anymore. The second floor clutter was more organized, placed when Grandpa was able to get around up there more easily. An inventor, he held on to anything that might be useful. But what use was a room lined floor to ceiling with shelves of creepy baby doll heads? The limbs had been configured along a towering armature, hundreds of cracked and naked plastic doll limbs arranged so that as the door was opened, a ball rolled down along a track among them. They sprang unnervingly to life, waving about, and what was worse, the eyes and the heads flickered open and shut.
Thank you, TJ. See, that covers this week and previous week. You know, folks are like, oh my god, I missed one. I need to do two. Which is good, because then you folks out there get more entertainment and more enlightenment. I know, I feel enlightened. Don't you? Yeah. Nardo says hi. He's a good boy. Yeah. You want a blanket to curl up in? Well, I'm not going to give you one, because these are my blankets. Yeah, you have to get your own damn blanket. Okay, well, we have one more story left, and it's from Planet Z. Are you going to be quiet while Planet Z records this? Are you? Are you going to be quiet? You going to be a good cat, or do you have to put you outside with the wolves and coyotes? Okay, so here we go with Planet Z.
The chief tapped me and my partner. Go get him, he said. Now. We grabbed the kid out of a restaurant on Main Street. He didn't resist. Chief took one look at him, smirked, put him in the hole. So we put him in the special isolation cell we got in the basement of the station. The chief collected up keys. This one's mine. He won't let anyone down there to check on the kid. It's been a week. I don't tell you how to raise your kids, he growled. He went back into the basement and locked the door.
And there you have it. A bunch of really good stories about crack. Thank you to everyone who was a part of this weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the author's websites, text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff. The more people see this on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, and Plurk, and all those other crazy social networking places, the more explaining you'll have to do with your loved ones, coworkers, and parole officers. Isn't there a new one? I think it's called Pinterest. Oh, Lord, now I'm going to have to put in a Pinterest little link. Oh, well. Until then, where the topic will be the meaning of life, this is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening. And, as always, keep it brief. Hey, everybody, that's not it. One came in late that I'm going to shoehorn in here, and it's by, what is it, Nardo? What? What are you saying? Is it by Treed? That's how cats say Treed. So, Treed was a little late, but, better late than never. So, here we go with Treed.
Bob and Dave, The Crack of Doom, by Treed! Oh, Bob! Oh, geez, what is it now, Dave? Look! What, Dave? Look at what? I can't describe this, Bob. You just have to look for yourself. But hurry! Dave, I've told you. The things that get you this excited tend to cause me some kind of pain. Physical, emotional, mental, psychic pain. But, Bob! Don't push it, Dave. Okay, but can I tell you something? Sure, Dave. Whitney Houston's right. What do you mean, Dave? Crack is whack. What? You know that plumber that moved in across the street? Oh, no. Yep. Seems there's a new moon arisin'.